This is the Fantasy Road Show.
We are live.
We are live.
Welcome in to another episode of the Fantasy Road Show. This episode is brought to you by Rule One Proteins. Go get you some protein. They got the best supplements, the best vitamins. Go check them out at www.ruleoneproteins.com. You guys know the drill. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel. Podcast available on all platforms. Go check us out on social media and the Substack. Can't forget the Substack, thefantasyroadshow.substack.com. Almost messed that up. My name is Truck. And as always, we got the three best analysts for you. We got myself, Culls, and Shane O'Mac. Boys, how we doing? Shane, how are you doing?
Good. I am very relaxed and ready for this show. So should be a good one.
Wow. Wow.
We love when Shane O'Mac is relaxed and ready to go.
That was the first time you said the three best analysts.
That was a nice little stuff good new. Part of the intro. I like that. Yeah.
trying some new stuff, just throwing shit at the wall.
I like it. Three best analysts. That's great.
How you doing, Culls?
Good. Just ready to do some My Guys, bro.
That's what we're here for. We're talking My Guys today. It's one of the most anticipated episodes of the season for myself. I love My Guys. Getting to plant your flag on these players. It's just, after an entire off season of preparation, going through drafts, making rankings, and really identifying these guys that you absolutely love going into the season. So I'm ready to go. Are you guys ready to go? Do you want to talk about anything happening in the news cycle?
Jordan Addison looks like he tore his, I think MCL is what I saw, or ACL really? Or MCL. That Vikings disaster season
just got a little bit more disastrous.
Well, I think it's starting to get disastrous. Yeah, you get JJ and then now him. I thought this season was going to be last season. We just did our NFC North breakdown not too long ago. Where did we have those?
Yep.
I think we were all had them in last, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like four wins, five wins.
Four or five wins. Yeah, that was, I forget what their over under was, but well under. I think we're all well under on the Vikings. I could see them in line for the number one draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
But Darnold could play good enough just to do a very Vikings thing and get them like out of the top five. So it'll be interesting. I don't know. What do you think, Shane O'Mac, about Jefferson? Like, are you just going to be fading all Vikings at this point, or are they?
I don't think I'm fading Jefferson that much.
Yeah, like, so that, you don't think they're snake bit. They still may be able to put together something.
I think Darnold will just be peppering him with targets. I think the other takeaway for me is I wasn't very high on him, but now if you're not having Addison and you're not going to have Hockenson to start the year, boy, it could be Aaron Jones getting a ton of catches out of the backfield.
That's a great point.
To begin the year.
They're going to need him. That's for sure.
Yeah, they just feel snake bit to me right now. So I think I'm probably pumping the brakes on all Vikings for at least, yeah, probably for redraft. I mean, best ball is a whole different thing because you have so many teams. But for redraft, when you're, I mean, I don't have as many. Let's put it this way. In my portfolio, I would be probably staying away from all Vikings. Because I don't have as many redraft teams, so I like to just go out and get my guys in that. So my guys get it. So for me, like, I just probably staying away from Jefferson, grabbing a Bijan or a Breece Hall, someone that I just like think those offenses are going to be a lot better. like even Garrett Wilson, I think I have him in my rankings higher than Jefferson as it is, but that would pretty much put me out of the running for Jefferson in any leagues at this point, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, well, that's pretty much it for the news cycle. Stay tuned for more news to drop. It is camp is still under swing, so got another episode of Hard Knocks coming out soon, episode 2. I'm pretty excited about that. Other than that, let's hop right in. What do you guys say?
Yep.
Did something happen last night with the Hard Knocks? They like didn't post the stream or something.
Yeah, it was delayed coming out. Like they made the official announcement, like, "Hey, it's delayed getting out." And I think it was a couple hours, hour and a half, something delayed from when it was scheduled.
How does that even happen in today's streaming world? Right.
Yep.
All right, well, let's start it off. We're going to do my guys. We're going to start with the quarterbacks. Shane, why don't you go ahead and kick it off, buddy?
Quarterback. So I haven't really talked a lot about this guy, but it's just because I think the opportunity hasn't presented itself. Like we've talked a lot about like lower ranked guys, quarterbacks that we like. But the guy I have moved up to, I'm just double checking, I've moved him up to QB7 now. And that's Jordan Love. I put him over Dak, over Burrow, over Richardson now. And when my drafts get going, that's going to be a heavy target of mine. I just love what he did down the stretch, you know, when he was over 20 fantasy points in like, I think 8 of his last 9. And he gives you the high ceiling, right? So he had the 4 games with at least 27 points over that stretch. He had more 3 touchdown games than Mahomes or Josh Allen. And then just the receiving corp is incredible. Like that receiving corp that he brings back is probably one of the deepest and best. So even if one of those guys were to go down, like you've got a guy like Dontavian Wicks who steps in and you don't lose much production in my mind. So I just think he is set to probably be the most high value consistent options of that top 10 quarterbacks. And I think he ends up being probably a top 5 guy this year.
Did you see on ESPN, what's his name? Oh my God. I was just thinking of it. He did Dan Orlovsky. He ranked the wide receiving corps in the NFC North. And it was, he had number 1, the Packers, number 2, the Vikings, number 3, the Bears, and number 4, the Lions. So that was interesting. And
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. But no, it goes in line with what you're saying. They, you know, Packers have a lot of really good wide receivers, and Jordan Love is going to be a really good player this year. So I like it.
This is going to be just taking us off topic entirely, but you guys both said it, so I'm just wondering if this is something that I've been saying wrong my entire life, or if Shane O'Mac said it wrong and Truck just followed because he wasn't sure.
I think that's what it was,
because to my knowledge, corpse, c-o-r-p-s, like receiving, that's core, it's receiving core, but that's just spelled like corpse, right?
I believe so.
And did I thought I said core. Corpse. Did I not? Did I say corpse?
Corpse. Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
I thought, yeah, it's supposed to be.
It felt wrong the moment I said it. I knew it. Yeah, I knew it in the back of my mind. I was like, didn't mean to say it that way.
Okay. We can cut that out. I was like, wait,
am I missing something?
Have I been saying this
wrong? No, in my mind, I just said wide receiver core.
Yeah. Corpse. Yeah. Core. Okay. All right. Good. I thought I was just losing my mind for a second. Mm-hmm. All right. Back to it. Sorry. Jordan Love.
Yeah. I think we finished with the Jordan Love.
Yep.
Yeah. I love Jordan Love, Shane O'Mac. I think he showed towards the end of the year that he's, you know, the real deal. And this offense with the young weapons is only getting better. And more defined. I wouldn't be surprised. This is again off topic, but I wouldn't be surprised if we eventually. Did you just switch him to your 6th?
Why do I have him behind Kyler Murray? That No. So, yeah. Like, that makes no
a lot
sense.
Of editing on the pod. I love it. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if we live in a world where, like, Watson, if Christian Watson doesn't have like an outstanding year this year and like show why they, you know, drafted him, that I could see him not really getting a second contract if Wicks is this receiver that they think he is mm-hmm. or can be. So I could see like a future of, and they think Dobbs is like the real deal. So if it looks like Wicks, yeah. Dobbs and Reed and Watson's kind of the odd man out, I could see that. I don't know why I just thought about that.
Is this Watson's third year?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right. I just want to make sure I had that right in my head.
But you're right. Like in Love and Dobbs, like Love has talked about Dobbs all the time.
And LaFleur. Yeah. LaFleur came out and was like, he's gotten, he's been doing everything right and he looks outstanding. So like if Dobbs is too good to be the number fourth guy and Wicks is like, you know, having 65 yard touchdowns like he was in, he had a catch today in camp where he just like went over and reached and went over the guy. That. And like, that's Moss just serious Moss there. So I could see, you know, that them just continue to get dialed in. I could see them play for a Super Bowl in the next, you know, few years. Mm-hmm. I think they're that good. So sorry to hear that. Sorry to put that into your world, Chuck. But I think they're that good.
Fair enough. My guy for quarterbacks, I have a couple here that I wanted to mention, but the one that I would plant my flag on, I'm sure Calls and I are going to be very similar in a lot of these players, but I'm taking Caleb Williams as a my guy this year. Absolutely love everything about this guy. I think he's going to bring the Bears to the promised land. I saw enough in that preseason game where I have full confidence in his ability and the playmakers around him that I am beyond thrilled to watch him every week of the NFL season this year.
Yeah, I'm sure we do have a lot of the same, and I'm totally fine with just adding on more because, you know, I can just fire him off. Caleb, I have as well. I think he's outstanding. I've been tooting that since before the draft, since whenever, probably last year when we started doing this, saying whoever gets the Caleb Williams sweepstakes is going to be in a good position the next 10 years. Josh Allen, I wouldn't normally put Josh Allen as a my guy just because it seems like a no-brainer. But the reason I have him there is because it seems like the market, you know, he is still QB1, but that's because he's just been QB1. I'm talking more in terms of like football. People think that this is the year that the Bills take a step back. They think that this is the year that the Bills, you know, are just in like this twilight and are trying to figure it out. I think, you know, I've mentioned this on past podcasts, but Allen's going to be QB1, number one player overall in fantasy. And I think this offense is going to be humming. And you know, he's going to be like he has always been, just the best player in fantasy and carrying teams to the championship. So I just threw him in there because of that, but someone I'm targeting in every draft is Trevor Lawrence. I think him getting drafted like after Caleb, so in that 13 to 15 range, wherever his current draft position is, like Caleb, Trevor, those are two guys who are outside of this like elite quarterback range that I have in my top eight this year. I have Caleb QB4. I have Trevor Lawrence QB8. So those are two guys that I can go ahead and get in every draft, and a lot of drafts you can go in and get both of them. Chuck and I just did that this weekend. So
yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Allen, Caleb, Trevor. Those are probably the guys that I have on my list, highest on my list, factoring everything in.
Yeah. Yep. Shane, what about you? Do you got any other ones other than Jordan Love?
No, but I just want a real quick note on Allen, cause people might think, you know, yeah, like you said, Allen's obvious, but I think the lens you look at it in is, at least how I do, is like a lot of times on what I've seen in drafts I've done so far, for me, I'm looking at Josh Allen like at the end of the second round. I don't mind taking him there when I've seen the tier break of like wide receivers be Chris Olave there, So to me, I will take Allen at the end of round two over trying to reach for a Chris Olave or a tier of running backs that I do not like there. I will take the what I think will be a, you know, the guy who's been, what, number one or number two the last 4 or 5 years at his position. So I think that's the lens you look at it in, is like comparing it to the other positions in those rounds.
Yeah. I mean, even in underdog drafts, what, Mike, haven't we seen him go in like round four?
Yeah, a lot of
the time. It's like back end of the third, early fourth, and that's in a 12-man best ball. Different than a home league. I think in our home league this weekend, he did go at the back end of the second. I'd be willing to take him there too. You're absolutely right. But the narrative around him is that he, without Stephon Diggs, he's going to take a step back, but I just don't believe it.
Yeah, that's why we have 24.6% of them in our underdog portfolio.
So. Absolutely, and I couldn't be happier about that number.
31% of Caleb Williams.
Yeah, and then my guy is Joe Burrow. I really like Joe Burrow this year, even though a lot of people are concerned about his wrist injury. I think he comes back with an absolute vengeance this year, which is why we have Ja'Marr Chase as our top-ranked wide receiver and have what's the number? What's the percentage, Mike?
For who?
For Ja'Marr.
I
think it's like in the 30s.
34.5%.
Yeah, 34.5. Huge, huge share of Ja'Marr. And I just love what Joe Burrow is capable of doing with this offense and with Ja'Marr Chase. So I'm looking to get Joe Burrow in any draft possible.
I also love that I have Joe Burrow as my QB5. The only reason I didn't mention him is because he doesn't have that like egregious difference in value based on his ADP. But I would be happy with him coming out of any draft having Joe Burrow. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Are we good to move on to running backs?
13.1% of Burrow and Trevor on underdog.
13.1. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Got an update. Jordan Addison's ankle injury is not to believe to be serious.
Ankle.
Ankle. Right. It was carted off. So it's always when you get those initial reports carted off, you never know. So
yeah, you never want to see that. But like Calls and I were talking about one day, you know, if you get injured at all, they're probably going to bring a card for you. It's not like as if it's not what it was back in the day when you hear it carted off. It's like, hey, this guy can't walk at all. And, you know, they're going to bring a card because it's true. It's a professional establishment and you should be carted off the field if you're dealing with
anything. Literally what I said was like, if I'm like, have to go take a shit, I'm taking a cart. Like,
bring me a cart, man.
Yeah. Like I'm going to get there faster. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Good point. So.
Oh, that's funny. All right. Well, let's start with running backs. Coles, who do you want to start with for your, my guys at running back position?
I'm going to pass that over to Shane O'Mac.
I love doing her. Who do you got, Shane?
Well, this one should be to no surprise, since I have been talking about this guy for a long time, and that's DeAndre Swift in Chicago. I don't understand, like, I think I tweeted it this weekend. I don't understand people not being excited about his setup this year. I mean, he played in every game last year besides, like, the meaningless Week 18 game. You know, he was – I think he had 10 or 11 top 25 running back finishes. You know, he's in an offense that is just set to explode. And now you're looking at when they're down at the goal line, he is going to get those opportunities where in Philadelphia last year, you know, a lot of those could go to Jalen Hurts. I think he's a lock for 8 to 10 touchdowns at least. And I think he's a lock for 1,000-plus yards rushing. And then whatever you want to add on there receiving-wise, I don't buy into this. Some of these beat writers and folks are saying, oh, maybe this will be more of an even split than we thought. You know, I'm not buying it at all. I think he is getting the majority of the touches.
I love that. Love hearing it.
Yeah, he was on my list too. So I knew you're like been pumping him nonstop, so I wanted you to say that. I love Swift. I mean you saw exactly what you needed to see from him, is catches a screen from Caleb and takes it 42 yards or however long it was. So you know, I expect a ton of explosive plays like that. That's just who he is. I don't understand the Swift hate in terms of like, yeah, I get the injury earlier in his career, but he's always been a huge playmaker, and you put him in an offense like that, and it's just going to be, you know, take things to the next level. I have like Jonathan Brooks, but I also have a star next to him just because, like, I don't know for sure when we're going to see like Jonathan Brooks getting a full workload. Like, I think he'll eventually have, like, I have him as a league winner. Mm-hmm. Does that mean he's a my guy also? I think yes, because, you know, I'm pairing him with a guy like Brian Robinson, who you can get later in drafts. And he's another guy I have on my guy list. Like, I think Brian Robinson's, his opportunity and his skill set is going to play us alongside Jaden Daniels really well. And the combination of Jaden Daniels' legs and then his arm and those pass catchers, it's going to open up a lot of room to run for a guy like Brian Robinson. So I think he's going to be involved in the passing game as well. You know, him and Eckler, this is probably wrong, but for some reason I saw that they split goal line carries or like red zone carries. I could be completely wrong on that, but I would expect them to, you know, he could potentially get some of the goal line work as well. I don't think it's necessarily Austin Eckler's, especially if he's not as explosive as he once was. So I think pairing up a Brooks, and Shane's talked a lot about that as well, is like pair Brooks up with someone like Gus Edwards earlier in the season, and you're going to be sitting really pretty. So yeah, that's why I have B-Rob as a my guy, but also Jonathan Brooks as one with a star next to his name. I think he's a league winner. So
yeah, and I don't know about you guys. So, you know, we update our rankings each week and release them on our Substack. And I don't know about you guys, but I didn't lower Brooks down my rankings when they said he's going to start the pup, because I always assumed that was going to happen anyways. And yep, I'm just going to cover myself for 4 weeks. And then the rest, the second half of the season, I think he's the league winner. He could be the league winner guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Yeah. My guy for running back this year, also known as my best friend, coined by Coles over there, James Conner. James Conner is considered my best friend this year. He's my guy. I absolutely love James Conner this year, and I get it. He's never really had a fully healthy season, but he still plays right around 13 to 15 games, and he's getting better as the years progress. Ever since he came to Arizona, he finishes the RB7, RB9, RB13 in fantasy points per game. Like, he's still a legit running back in this league. Last year, despite he was ranked 21st in rushing back. And what'd you say?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you just said something. My bad. James Conner, last year ranked 21st in running back rushing attempts. He finished finished sixth in rushing yards. He had 1,000 yards on 13 games. Had over 5 yards per carry. The guy's still a stud. And I think with the improved offense in general with the Arizona Cardinals, I think James Conner's in line for a really big season, even if he misses a couple games.
I think it's interesting that he's your best friend and a my guy of yours, yet you can't spell his name correctly in our rankings.
I can't ever spell his name correctly. It's Conner is always spelled one way to me, and his Condor is spelled differently. So yeah, Conner.
Yep. I don't love that one. I hear that Conner's gonna get like an insane workload. I just don't think I believe it. I don't know, for some reason I feel like he's just like aging and Benson is gonna get a lot of opportunity, so that scares me. But if he gets that massive workload, he's done nothing but perform at a high level. So, like, if you believe in the coach speak and you believe in the Cardinals offense as a whole, then there should be value in Marvin. Well, not really Marvin. He's all the values kind of squeezed out there. But McBride, James Conner, you know, they have a pretty electric offense in terms of, like, it's all set up for them to succeed. I'm not a Kyler guy, so it's hard for me to really be bullish on any of the Cardinals.
Yeah. Fair enough.
There's just the offense, I think, is better this year. That's for sure. I think there was 8 games or 9 games last year when he got less than 15 carries. I don't know if that is continues this year with Benson, or, you know, every time I think a rookie's going to share carries, it ends up being like the Seattle situation, or it could be that way. And so you're like, okay, you know, do you want to caution against that? But I have a little bit of hesitancy about, you know, he's over the age 28 mark now for running backs, 29, which history tells us is not terribly strong. But the only thing I would say about Connor I like is you have a little bit of that safety baked into where his ADP is now. It's not, you know, where he's going. It's not a killer. It's not a death blow. And if he does have 13 great games where you're drafting him, it's going to come out really nice for you.
Yeah, it's just tough. I don't know about redraft, but I know in underdog it's tough drafting him where he's just because he's in that like pocket of running backs where you can go and get a Deontay Johnson, Roma Dunze, Brian Thomas. So it's tough for me to justify drafting him over one of those guys, Keon Coleman. So I like, it's just being as wide receiver focused as those leagues are. I love getting two of the receivers in that pocket because I think it's really good, a really good one. But one guy that, like, he's not on my guy, and he's not even really anyone that I'm like someone that I'm targeting heavily at all that I've been pretty turned on to lately is Ken Walker. And I don't know why I'm bringing up in the my guy episode, but he's someone
we talk that, about like, this guy who's not a my guy, but definitely
he's not a my guy, but I think he could be someone that ends up, you know, top five running back, because I just saw today that like Charbonneau didn't practice. I think it was something lower body, and it's not like it's perceived to be serious, but it was something nagging, and it's like enough to keep him out of practice. And it's like, we're hearing this news coming out of the Seahawks camp of Ken Walker having, you know, taking that next step, looking like a true third down back. Now you see Charbonneau, you know, coming up with injury concern. It's like, gosh, if he really gets like a huge workload for Seattle, I think he's just proved that he's such a great runner. If you mix in a little bit of receiving upside in there, he could be an absolute grand slam this year. But yeah, Shane O'Mac talking about rookies getting production split made me spark up a Ken Walker thought.
Fair enough. Who else you got on your board there, Coles?
Nobody. Swift, B-Rob, Brooks.
Okay. All right, cool. Let's move on to wide receivers then.
Shane, did you have anyone else?
So the only guy I would mention that I have moved up, and this is kind of, you know, it's he's not being drafted low or anything, but Al, he's moved up to my RB5 ahead of Jonathan Taylor, ahead of Kyren Williams, and that's Derrick Henry. I just think, you know, this is the asterisk of running backs over the age of 28 for 1 year. I think he could explode. You know, all of his production last year was baked in when he got 15 or more carries. When they had large margin of blowout losses, you know, he was like the RB40. The Ravens, you know, they didn't have a game where their margin was more than 7 points. So I think, or they were down more than 7 points. So they're going to be either up in games or in close games all year where Henry's getting plenty of opportunities. So I'm comfortable with Henry as like a second round draft choice. Like I brought up the example of Chris Olave. In a PPR league, I'd be taking Derrick Henry over Chris Olave in that round two range where some people are taking Olave.
Love that.
Yeah, I love that as well. I would love to take an adjusted line of 19.5 over 19.5 rushing yards if I could.
Touchdowns?
Yeah, touchdowns, rushing yards.
Yeah.
Rushing.
19 and a half rushing yards.
That would be a smash.
Yeah, that would be, wouldn't it? It'd be like minus like 30,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love Henry. I think, you know, for all the reasons you just said, bounce back. It's his like last push for a championship type run. He's going to be so good in that offense. Like, that's exactly what that offense, like, look at what Gus Edwards did. That's exactly what that offense loves as a bruiser. And they don't love throwing the ball in the red zone. Like, they would prefer to run it down your throat, mm-hmm. play smash mouth football. And there's literally no one better in my entire time watching football. I don't think there's ever been a running back better at doing that than Derrick Henry. So,
yeah.
Yeah, very true. All right, well, Shane, who do you got for wide receivers?
I'm going with another guy I've talked about all offseason. I'm not changing my stance on it. You know, as of now, with what I think the trade's not going to happen, and so that's going to be George Pickens.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, you look at the four games last year when Deontay Johnson was gone and, you know, he was at like 17 fantasy points per game. And, you know, he was getting like almost a 30% target share. And that's with some questionable at best quarterback play that he had last year. I think Russell Wilson will be the quarterback of that team. So I think, you know, that is better quarterback play than Kenny Pickett was last year for him. I just think he is set to have a smash target rate and have a career best in receptions and yards and probably touchdowns.
Yeah, I agree with you. I also think that now that he's not sharing the receiver room with Ayuk, that I just moved him up as we were talking like 10 spots back into the top 30. And I could probably move him up even further, but I'm going to save that for when I can think about it. So I love that for sure.
Nope.
You're muted.
Chuck, I don't hear anything from you.
You're muted.
Hey, when that happens, that's that one's on me. Like I said, I love the Pickens pick. Without IU going there, he's due for a breakout. So I like.
Like it. You said,
huh?
You're like you said. Like I said.
Yeah, like I was saying while like I was
said
muted,
to myself. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's what I said. No, my guy this year for wide receivers, Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin. I can't talk enough about this guy. You know, he's had over 75 receptions and 1,000 yards each of the last 4 years. There's only five other receivers that have done that. He's done that with terrible quarterback play. Now he has Jaden Daniels. I'm just a broken record at this point. Give me all the Terry McLaurin I can draft this year in fantasy football. I'm so excited to watch this guy play with Jaden Daniels. I think the sky's the limit, truly. He could be finish inside the top 15, maybe even inside the top 10 if everything goes well for them.
That's honestly that's probably my favorite take you've ever had in fantasy football.
Hey, all right.
And I agree. I love McLaurin this year, especially after what we saw with Jaden Daniels. Like, I'm just so confident in Daniels now. For some reason, I just needed to see that, what I saw this weekend. Like with Caleb, I knew it was a no-brainer. With Jaden Daniels, I was like, everything's there, but like, will he translate it that quickly? And like, I'm starting to think, yeah, like I could see him being a Stroud too. It's crazy to think that we might have two rookie quarterbacks come into the NFL and be like insanely good, but I think we're going to. So
yeah, we saw what Kingsbury said like this past week, like they're giving him a whole new set of plays and concepts, and the next morning he comes back and he's got it mastered like instantly. So
smart guy,
smart and processing, like, yeah,
Yeah, I think he's the real deal, which is, again, crazy that we have two of them in one draft that are going to be that good. And then to follow up, like Stroud, who is the best rookie of all time. So I think we're like super lucky that we're going to be able to watch, you know, 3 in 2 years that could potentially be the best for the next 10, 15. So, and then to see all of them just duke it out with, you know, Mahomes, Allen, like we're in a honey hole of quarterbacks in the NFL, and it's super exciting for fantasy players, but you know, also NFL. So
absolutely. Yeah. What do you got, Coles?
Coles, who's your first my guy?
Keon, or not Keon, he is a my guy, sorry. But I was gonna say Jamar. My brain is fading fast. Jamar Chase, and you know, again, kind of like Allen, reason why I have Chase on there is because, you know, I've been taking him at the 101, been tooting the horn on that. He's my, like, basically 101 through 105, six, whenever he's available. And I just think he's like the best wide receiver in the NFL. And I think that him and Joe Burrow are probably the best quarterback wide receiver combo in the NFL. And you just don't put up two stinkers in a row. So they're going to come back with a vengeance. They both really like being the best in the world. Like, shocker, right? Like, both of those guys love each other. They love being on top of the game. Like, you know, Paris Fashion Week's a lot more fun when you guys are coming off of a Super Bowl appearance, you know? So yeah, I think they're going to put it together this year in a big, big way. I forget what I said about Chase, but it was something like 115 catches, 1950 yards, just short of 2000, and like 15 touchdowns. I forget exactly what the numbers were, but it's going to be insane.
Yeah.
That's... I like that call, because you don't see, at least I haven't seen hardly any people taking him at the 101 in any sort of format, really. So,
yeah, I think I've only not taken him one time when he was available on the board in 450 plus drafts. And that was today, because CMC fell to the 104. And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. And the only reason I did it is because I was like, CMC is just not getting drafted at the 104. So to have a rot, like, I cannot draft Jamar Chase one time to have that like unicorn of mm-hmm. a roster with McCaffrey at the 104, and then ended up getting Brandon Ayuk at the 304. So it was like, all right, once this signing happened, like, it just was like a unicorn roster that was the only reason I didn't. And I felt so horrible doing it. But I felt like it was
cheating. It sounds like the right move, though. It sounds like
it was definitely the right move. But yes, it was like, once you're that many drafts in and you've never done it once, you've you know, call me too loyal or what. But yeah,
yeah.
Jamar Chase, funny. Go Tigers. Yep.
Go Tigers. Go Tigers. Yeah, yeah. I co-sign that for sure. That's goes in line with what I was talking about with Joe Burrow. I just think those two are going to have a fucking season this year. Yeah. So that's I love that.
Joe, cool, man. Joe's just too cool to throw up another stinker, you know. He needs Joe needs this year more than he's ever needed it, because he's now had two seasons kind of go to shit with injury. So yeah, I got Jamar. I said Keon. I don't know if Shane O'Mac might have Keon on his as well.
I don't, not a my guy. I mean, I had him in our sleeper show, but yeah, not as a my guy.
Yeah, Keon's a my guy, pairs up with Allen. You'll hear about Kincaid later, as I'm sure you, shocker. But I just continue to love the Bills offense, where they're currently getting drafted. I think it's just, you know, so much value sitting there that I had to put him as a my guy as well, because 30.3% of the underdog portfolio is tied to Keon Coleman, and couldn't be happier about it.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah, Keon, he's just such a breakout for me. Like, he's it just makes so much sense with the availability of opportunity in this offense. So, yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. One of my other guys, surprise, surprise, DJ Moore. DJ Moore being drafted like basically at wide receiver 18, 19, 20, that range. I mean, the guy is an absolute animal. We saw what he did last year with Justin Fields. He said 1,364 yards and 8 touchdowns, 136 targets. Like, Caleb is going to be looking to him early and often. DJ Moore is going to have an even better season than he had last year, and that was his best statistical season. So I'm just gearing up for DJ Moore to make an absolute statement with this offense this year. Bear down. That's all I can say about it.
I have DJ and Rome, because that's how I'm so confident in them. And obviously I put Caleb down as well as a my guy. Like, I'm so confident in those guys that, you know, I was like, fuck it, they're my guys. You know, I may have a list of 3-7 receivers, but like, when you're that confident and that firm on somebody, you gotta talk about it. And Rome, you know, I'm so confident in him being the number two weapon on an offense that's going to have a ton of production. So both of those guys, you know, where Rome's getting drafted, I want as much of those two as you can get. So
yeah. And if you guys have been watching our content this entire offseason, like, these picks are no surprise. Like, no. We talk about these guys all the time. We draft mm-hmm. them all the time. So, these are our guys. Shane, did you have any other ones before we move on?
Yeah, one more guy I've got, and that is Malik Nabers. I've talked about him far as, like, I can not be a fan of Daniel Jones and still think Malik Nabers is going to have a great year, because I think he is the type of guy where – you don't have to get him great throws and targets to have an elite year. I think there will find ways to get him the ball. And really where I've kind of come around with him is, like, for example, I've moved him up now ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. And I just, like, there's more ceiling opportunity based off of the ADP of Nabers versus Harrison Jr., right? So you're taking Harrison Jr. at like the 12, 13 turn. And so, you know, if he doesn't pan out very well, then that's a little bit more of a struggle based off of where Nabers is being taken. And I think this little low ankle sprain, which I'm not concerned about, it may depress that value even a little bit more for Nabers if you're getting ready to draft, you know, in the next week.
Yeah, I have him on mine as well. Shocker. Go Tigers. Fuck, you have him one spot above me. I thought I was super bullish on him at wide receiver 10. You have him at wide receiver 9. It's hard for me to push Nabers ahead of Devonta Adams, especially with, like, Minshew looking to win that job. I think Devonta could have a big year following up his stinker of last year. So if Minshew just goes in there and slings it, I think, and they're going to be I would think that the Raiders are going to be down in games and just like, let's get Minshew garbage time going. And you can see, like, you know, Devonta have some big weeks, because giving up a 20-30 yard gain when they're down by 21 is not a big deal or whatever, you know. I could see that happening. So I don't know. I love Nabers. I think I've said it a million times that I think Chase and then Nabers and then Jefferson is the order of those LSU wide receivers in terms of pure talent. I think the rest of the world's going to see it this year pretty early on. So I'm excited to watch it.
Yep.
He doesn't know his number yet. Isn't that funny?
Who?
Nabers. He doesn't have a number.
Oh, he doesn't have a number yet?
He's not going with 9?
No, he just is wearing it until he figures out what number he's going to be. Because Graham Gano's 9. He's not giving it to Nabers. And then his normal number is 13. His other number is 13. And Hyatt is 13. And Hyatt's not giving it up either. So he's still trying to figure out what number he's going to be.
God, go 88.
Go 88. Go so, zero. He's a sub-zero guy, I think, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about disrespect to Hakeem Nicks and the 88 that he wore for the Giants. So,
Shane, who won? Who wore 88 for the Giants in 1972?
Come on, you can pull that out of the archive.
That one I can't pull.
I put Deontay down, Deontay Johnson. I was interested to see if Shane O'Mac was going to talk about him. I don't know that he'll make like a final my guy list. This is, I guess you can consider this an honorable mention. But I also have Rashee Rice down because I think if he doesn't get suspended, which like signs are pointing that he's not, I have him as my wide receiver 21, and I might be like moving him up even further. Cause he's going to be outstanding, especially with Hollywood now dinged up 4 to 6 weeks. Is he going to miss week one? Probably. And Rice, we saw how good he was last year. I think Rashee Rice could end up in my like top 15 and me being like way more bullish on him than the rest of the market, like I was last year. So I think he's just going to have a massive season if he's not suspended, which it's looking like not.
Yeah, I agree. Like I was telling Coles before the show, like
Truck's muted again. He was talking.
Go ahead, Shane. You're good.
Before the show, like his court date is like, I want to say like December 10th or something. And so that to me, like, I don't see like a ruling coming down from the NFL before his court date happens.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Of course not. And also, like, if it does happen in the middle of the season, like, the NFL is not going to take their most prized team and just throw a wrench in their year like that.
No, right? They'll do it next offseason.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, they wouldn't just do a suspension effect immediately. What were you saying, so. Truck, when you were on mute talking?
I'm sure it was something great.
Nothing. I was just saying how sad I was that Hollywood Brown got injured and is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. He was definitely in contention for a my guy this year. So
yeah, you said he was a my guy. I was wondering if you were going to pull him out. A my guy.
No, I'm just, you know, with this injury, I want to see how he comes back from it. I know he got rushed to the hospital. It could have been a very serious injury. Although, you know, we heard reports that Tyreek Hill had gone through the same thing, was out right around 4 weeks. So if he's out 4 to 6 weeks and he's out the first 3 weeks or whatever, that really sucks. I was looking for him to take advantage of the beginning of the season and really create a nice rapport with
Mahomes,
Patrick Mahomes,
quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
Well, remember that was we've kind of flip flopped now. That was the original first show bed of the offseason was Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown. And we're like, oh, we're going to have to cancel this because Rice will be suspended.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to flip flop it now.
And now we're gonna cancel it because he's out 4 to 6 weeks. Yeah,
what a whirlwind. Our boy Dr. Jesse Morse basically said the re-injury risk is zero. So that's
That's good news. Good news. Yeah.
For that.
Okay. Injury. Are you guys good then? We mentioned Coles. Did you go through all seven of your players?
Yep.
Let's go to Coles' favorite position.
Oh boy.
Tight end.
Tight end.
Who you got, Cole? I'm dying to know who your tight end my guy of the year is.
Should be no surprise. Greg Dulcich and Dalton Kincaid.
Yep.
Should put Kyle Pitts on there too. He's tight end 6, and I have him as tight end 2. So let me bust out my pen real quick and write down Kyle Pitts.
Yep.
Kincaid, Dulcich, Pitts. Those are really the only three tight ends that I'm looking for. I think in redraft, like, I would probably not even draft Freiermuth. Like, I have been a ton in, like, if those three aren't there, then Freiermuth is the pick. Or if Kincaid and Pitts aren't picked, then Freiermuth is like just a default pick. But if I'm in a redraft league, like, I probably just punt in general and go, and just go Dulcich late and put all my eggs in that basket, just because, like, I don't know that if Dulcich is going to be good, he's going to be good from the start. Tight end's a position you could typically stream if you really need to. I don't know. That's just the kind of the strategy I'm using. Super aggressive on Kincaid and Pitts, and for some reason I get sniped on both. Dulcich.
Yeah, I think you got to feel good about Pitts, and why I think you're okay with having him that high is, like, even if Cousins re-injures or is not as effective as he normally is, something happens. Like, Michael Penix, I think, is going to be really good for that offense and for Pitts, like, and as opposed to in previous years when
they're just like, at least he's getting the ball out, kind of thing
quickly.
I don't know if I would be like, Cousins goes down and Falcons are still, like, I don't think they're gonna, maybe they, I don't know that they'd win the division if it was early. I don't know that they'd win the division with Penix at quarterback. I think he needs the time, but he will go, he would go out there and sling it, right? But I think that he's one of these guys that needs a little bit of time to sit back and learn. He needs to learn how to process better. But in terms of just, like, put me in shotgun and let me throw it up, which Drake London and Kyle Pitts, that's the kind of the kind of receivers they are. So yeah, I agree with you, Shane. I want to see Cousins and Rodgers healthy this year. So
bad. Yeah.
Yes. Agreed.
Like, please just give us that, you know?
Yeah.
Why was there so much quarterback injury last year? I want to see, like, no, can we just have the reverse of that and have no quarterback injuries this year, please?
That'd be nice.
I think, like, the number was watching, like, 60 quarterbacks played and started last year. It was something ridiculous.
Do you remember one week we were watching, like, Browning versus, like it was just never, like, Zach Wilson or whatever. It was just, like, it was so gross last year.
It was there was a lot of that. Yeah, a lot of that. And that's not good for the NFL either. You know, and the NFL doesn't want to see that. 66
quarterbacks started a game last year.
Yeah, let's not do that again this year. My boys, let's stay healthy.
Yeah.
My tight end, my guy, some of you guys just talked about Kyle Pitts. He's my one and only my guy. I want to leave every draft with Kyle Pitts. I think from what we saw his rookie year, having 1,000 yards with Kirk Cousins, this is just a recipe for success. I want Kyle Pitts everywhere.
Yep.
For sure. Shane?
So I've kind of changed my stance on tight ends. I used to be, like, always waiting till late and just grabbing and streaming throughout the year. And now it's kind of like, you know, I want to have been grabbing one of the top six guys, you know, at some point. But if for some reason a receiver has slipped or a running back has slipped and I want to take them over one of those top guys, you know, my guy for sure to take is Jake Ferguson. I just think, you know, you look at, like, last year when he was, like, first in red zone targets and I think it was, like, fifth in snaps at the position. I think he's set up probably to be, from a catch volume standpoint, the number two receiving option on a team that's going to throw the ball, I would almost guarantee, over 600 times this year. So I think he steps up and is probably a 1,000-yard receiver, I'm going to call him at this year. So
that's fucking spicy, Shane. I love that.
I love that, Shane O'Mac. I love it. I don't really have anything to add there. I think you said it all pretty solid. Like, that's a team that should have a lot of production still. And they just aren't as sexy as they were in the past. So in order for them to kind of be back in the playoff picture, Ferguson's going to have to have a monster year.
And that team, for whatever reason, like, they've shown they developed that position well, like, you know, whether it was Jason Witten and a third round pick, and then it was Dalton Schultz who parlayed his time there into a nice big contract with Houston. They developed guys there.
Can we get Chino Mack placing his first ever future wager?
Ooh, what's the number? What is the receiving yardage over?
675 and a half.
How do I sign up for a count here? Let's Shane, 675.
Can we get you dialed into DraftKings and put a Hundy spot on
there? What's his touchdown total?
We might need Chino Mack to put a little Hundy spot on it. So five and a half
touchdowns and 675 yards.
Even if he doesn't hit the 1,000 yards, like, I think he is a lock to do what, like, Schultz was doing. Like, Schultz's best year was like 800 yards.
Yeah,
I agree. Dallas.
Yeah, I like that line a lot.
We might need to get Chino Mack.
I think I will be looking at that and screenshotting that receipt.
I'm writing it down because so far, when we're talking through these podcasts live, we've got Ferguson over 675 and a half, and then Falcons over 3.5 divisional wins.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe do the old podcast parlay.
Oh, all right.
Best bet. I like that. The old fantasy roadshow best bet parlay.
Well, we're going to get prepared and do that episode pretty soon here and talk about our best future bets, going through some of the stuff we've talked about in different episodes. I know Cole's got quite a bit written down in that book over there, so I'm excited to see how that unfolds. Be on the lookout for some more stuff coming up. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. You guys got any closing statements, Coles, specifically?
I probably did, but I forgot it all because I was looking at something.
All right. Well, stay tuned. We got a bunch of stuff for you. Again, go check out the Substack, thefantasyroadshow.substack.com.
You're going to birthday dinner tonight.
You're going to a birthday dinner tonight.
Yeah. Mm,
nice. Okay. Where at? Any fancy establishment? You're going to go get some steaks?
Yeah, it is fancy. La Piscina. It's like a fancy Mexican place at the proper hotel in Austin, Texas.
Okay. All right.
Proper hotel.
A friend is taking me, Shano Mack. Hopefully I'll get relaxed.
Okay. Well, good luck on that.
Going to play any pickleball before or after?
All right. We can cut this.
All right. Anyway, you guys are the best. Stay tuned and buckle up.